Well, hello, everybody. Beautiful day today. I enjoy the nice sunshine, the warmer weather, as long as it doesn't get too hot, anyway. Well, I want to start out with a question. Who do you think of as a hero? You may think of certain athletes or entertainers or politicians, and some of them are heroes in their own respect. But still, there are other people who perform acts of heroism. These acts are known only to a few, and only for a relatively short time, even though their acts may have major impacts on people's lives. And it's similar in the Bible. There are people in the Bible mentioned very briefly, but they aren't referred to much again after that. Now, we may think of people like Abraham, Moses, and David, and Paul, and of course Jesus Christ as being heroes, but there are others whose acts were recorded and were very significant, but they personally have been long forgotten. And I'd like to talk about some of these forgotten or lesser-known heroes today. I'll look at three examples, all of them from the Old Testament, and all anonymous in that their names weren't recorded. And since today is, tomorrow is Mother's Day, we have Memorial Day, I selected all females. Because I did choose all females, we'll also look at some aspects of women's roles in society, and that will help make their examples more meaningful. Let's look at Genesis 1:27. We're familiar with that passage. I don't know that you need to turn to it. It says in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So God created men and women. "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Both man and woman were created by God in God's image, and both share in the authority over his creation. It says that they have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. Let's look at some roles, then, of women in the Bible. The first role I'll look at is that the women ran the household, that including the gathering and preparation of food, and they'd first have to gather fuel and start a fire. They would have to draw water at the well or the stream, and then carry the full jug of water back, maybe making multiple trips to get enough water for their household. The women ground the grain into flour for making bread using a millstone. This was a large flat stone, slightly bowl-shaped, to hold the grain. It had a smaller round stone on top of it used for pounding the grain to grind it. The mill was so important that it was written in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 6, "No man shall take the lower or the upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge." This millstone was essential for life. The first example that I'll look at is in Judges chapter 9, verses 50 through 56. And in this example, God used a woman to punish Abimelech, king of Israel, who was a bad king. In Judges chapter 9, verse 50, "Then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. But there was a strong tower in the city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city, all the men and women, they fled there and shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it, and he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, 'A woman killed him.'" So his young man thrust him through, and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And you can read about that incident early in the book of Judges. So it was an act of courage created by a certain woman, a Thebes, unnamed. The second role we'll look at was that of child-rearing. Israel was a patriarchal society, and women had little say in family decisions. Those decisions were usually made by the father or the oldest son. A woman was taught obedience to her father, and after marriage, after that, to her husband, obedience to her husband. She was raised from childhood to get married and have children, was taught by her mother to keep house and raise children. This was her overriding goal in life. She took care of the household. An example of this, we could read about personal sacrifice, about a woman who had to help pay for her father's rash vow. Her father had made a vow without thinking of what the implications of it could be. And at this time, Jephthah was at war with the Ammonites. Now we read about this in Judges 11, verses 29 through 40. You may want to turn there. I'll be reading most of those verses, Judges 11, starting in 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering." And I'm pretty sure in his head he was thinking about maybe his dog or cat or some other animal would come out, and he had in his head he would offer that as an offering to the Lord. But it didn't turn out that way. Verse 32, so Jephthah advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. So once the Lord did that, then Jephthah had to carry out his vow. And he defeated them from Aroer as far as Medeth, 20 cities, and to Abel Karabim with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Verse 34, can't read that, that's faint print here, 34. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. It was his only child that came out the door. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it." So she said to him, "My father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon." God carried out his part of the bargain. So Jephthah had to carry out his end of it. Verse 32, then she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I." So he said, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father. She made the decision to return to her father, even knowing what was going to happen. And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, and he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. She knew no man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite. She was probably dedicated to the Lord's purposes rather than being literally sacrificed, which would not have been pleasing to God. We don't know actually what form this sacrifice took. At any rate, she obeyed her father, and she gave up marriage and motherhood, and that was the end of Jephthah's line. We also learn something else about women as well as men, that wisdom was present in both men and women. Wisdom was sought after in both men and women. Many proverbs discuss the value of wisdom, and Proverbs 14 specifically talks about a wise woman. It was not uncommon for villages to have their local wise woman who act as counselors. We won't turn to that scripture. We've gone over that in other messages, Proverbs 14, talking about the Proverbs 14 woman. A third example that we'll look at is someone referred to as a wise woman from Abel. And this is in 2 Samuel 20, verses 16 through 22. The setting at this point is that Sheba was being pursued by the army of Joab and went into the city of Abel of Beth-Maacah. Joab's army was preparing to batter down the wall. And in 2 Samuel 20, verse 16, then a wise woman cried out from the city. We don't know who she was. She cried out, "Here, here, please say to Joab, come nearby that I may speak with you." When he had come near to her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." And then she said to him, "Hear the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." So she spoke, saying, "They used to talk in former times, saying, they shall surely seek guidance at Abel. And so they would end disputes." Verse 19, "I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so. But a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Beeri by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." So the woman said to Joab, "Watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." And the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. So the woman's wisdom saved the city from destruction. So what is the conclusion of all of this? Well, there are many examples of heroism in the Bible as well as in everyday life. We think too often, I guess, of heroes as being the well-known or the rich or the famous, and some are, but they don't have to be. There are all kinds of heroes. The examples we've looked at show that you don't have to be well-known. You don't have to be a man. You most likely will not be long remembered for your acts. But God knows and God remembers. These people all used what they had learned and been taught to face situations in heroic ways. One person can make a difference, even an ordinary person, like the certain woman from Thebes. Second example, like Jephthah's daughter. The third example, like the wise woman of Abel. Or fourth example, like any one of us, either woman or man.